Hello, Tallahassee friends. Welcome to Let's Get Local Tallahassee. This is your host, Vanessa Rouse. Let's Get Local Tallahassee is a podcast exploring Tallahassee's best experiences and local hot topics. Thanks for joining us today for part four of Fitness and Active Lifestyles in Tallahassee. Wellness coach Christine White joins us today for this fourth and final episode in our January of Fitness, which kicked off the new year and the beginning of regularly scheduled episodes of Let's Get Local Tallahassee. After this, we begin our normal schedule of releasing new episodes every other Tuesday, which means the next one will be coming out on Tuesday, February 11th. That will be our first Hot Topics episode and will be focused on mental health. And since this podcast is all about connecting people to the incredible places and resources we have to offer in Tallahassee, we're going to talk to Randy Nicholas, president of 211 Big Bend, which is a 24/7 hotline that provides human service information and crisis counseling and basically serves as a gateway to countless other community services and support resources. So I thought Randy would be the perfect person to start with as we discuss mental health in our community. Even if you don't think you can personally benefit from these resources, we all know someone who can, and so I beg you to help spread the word about the important and life-saving services provided by 211 Big Bend and also so many others in our community. Join us on February 11th for more. Okay, back to fitness. If you missed the first three January Fitness and Active Lifestyle episodes, I encourage you to check those out because we talked to Tallahassee residents about the activities they are passionate about. We heard from all sorts of people about all sorts of places, from favorite fitness facilities to outdoor activities to community groups doing various sports and fitness activities. We even uncovered many free options for exercising in Tallahassee. Our website at letsgetlocaltallahassee.com has a list of what's included in each of these four fitness episodes. And now on to today's episode with local wellness coach Christine White. We're going to talk to Christine about wellness coaching, workplace wellness, yoga, active lifestyles, and accountability. I knew Christine would be the perfect person to talk to about all this because I've been watching her from afar as she's launched her new business a few years ago. And I'm so impressed by what she's created. It's remarkable the space that she's gotten into and how much she's grown in a relatively short period of time, and the services that she's providing to our community, including firefighters. Stay tuned to hear more about that. And I recorded this interview about 2 months ago, and it's amazing how many of these little nuggets from her that have popped back into my mind since then. We have so much more information these days about what's good for our bodies and what we should be doing, but we also have long-standing habits, and it's so hard to break certain habits. So I think what Christine does to customize her services to meet an individual's specific needs and goals is really impressive. And by the way, before we get started, one thing that's not included in this episode is the nutrition discussion I had with Christine. I had a hard time shortening all this down to a reasonable length, so I decided to take out the 20 minutes of nutrition and give that to you as a bonus overtime episode. That will be coming out soon, probably in the beginning of February, and it's a great one. So many helpful tips. So be sure to subscribe to Let's Get Local Tallahassee so you'll notice when that comes out. Before we get started, I'll give you Christine's website address because I have a feeling that many of you will want more info. It's CoachChristineWhite.com. And of course, you can find a link there from LetsGetLocalTallahassee.com. All right, let's talk to Christine. All right. Hi, Christine. Thank you for being here today.
You're welcome. Thanks for having me, Vanessa.
Great. So, Christine, can you start by telling me a little bit about your business and how it is that you started your own business?
Absolutely. So this was a big, huge career leap for me. I spent about 20 years in the nonprofit sector and just got to a point where I knew there was something else out there, some new phase. So I did a lot of soul searching, thinking about what do I really love as a human? And it was nutrition and fitness that kept kind of rising to the top. So then I had to think, well, how can I turn this into a career? I guess this should be what I do on a daily basis, and this should be how I sustain myself and my family. So I became certified as a nutrition health coach through the Institute for Integrative Nutrition. It's a very holistic school, and that really spoke to me because we are more than just what we eat and how we move our bodies. Those are really important, but how is our sleep? How's our stress? Do we have healthy relationships? All of that. So that was a year-long process, went through that certification, loved it, and that enables me to work with clients one-on-one on all of their healthy goals, conduct workshops, group settings, whatever, you name it. But along the way, I also added the fitness piece. So I became a certified personal trainer. And that was one of those things. I was at the gym one day looking around. And I was like, you know, I always thought that would be kind of fun to be a personal trainer. Hey, I can do that now. I'm going to add that in. So that piece really took off too. I love working with people one-on-one with their fitness goals, whether it's strength and conditioning, flexibility, balance, all of it. But then yoga came on the scene for me. I came into yoga personally a little later in life. I was getting pretty deep in my own practice and had the opportunity to take over somebody's class, and I built my own following. People were following me beyond that venue, and I thought, okay, I think I struck something here. And that has become a huge part of what I do as well. And I just love it. I just think there is nothing better than getting up every day and absolutely loving what I do. I really feel silly calling it work. I know that sounds cliche, but helping people live their healthiest lives is just incredible. Everything from their nutrition to their fitness to then how it affects their outlook on life, and they explore new things and they improve their relationships and their work. And so it's just been the best decision of my life, honestly.
That's amazing. You found your lottery job. I love it. I love it. Absolutely. If I could hope for one thing for my kids, it would be to do that. And I think that's just remarkable. I mean, it's, what more could you ask for, really, in a job?
Right, exactly. And that's what I hope to be, a role model for my daughter, too. To have her see me work hard for what I love and what I'm passionate about and just make it work. You know, the money will come as it needs to along the way, but she sees me loving what I'm doing, and she sees the people and their lives and how I'm affecting them. And so to me, that's the best thing that I could possibly do for her. And I'm glad she's been along for the ride too.
That's perfect. So what does it look like when somebody comes to meet with you, or when they sign up with you as a client? How do their sessions work with you?
That is a great question. It depends on how they come to me, what they come to me for. But if it's an individual client, maybe they want to improve their nutrition. Maybe they want to lose weight. Maybe they want disease prevention. Something runs in their family and they know they need to tackle that one way or the other. So sometimes they come to me and they don't exactly know how they're going to operationalize that, what it's going to look like. But they're like, look, hey, I heard you're a wellness coach. I need some more wellness in my life. So if they come to me more from that perspective, like a holistic wellness perspective, then they become a health coaching client. And ideally, they come into my 6-month program, which is where we meet one-on-one. We can meet face-to-face or virtually over the phone. We could Skype, whatever. And it's an hour at a time, once every other week over the course of 6 months. And we're working through very specific goals that they set at the beginning. And those goals can be very related to each other, or they can be very different things from different parts of life. Maybe one's related to sleep, one's related to fitness, one's related to, you know, their meals, something like that, or, you know, specific weight loss numbers. But then comes the work of, well, how are we going to make this happen? So we work through all of that. And then between those sessions, for those 2 weeks in between, they've got very targeted strategies that they're working on in between on their own, whatever that looks like to them. And they can report back to me. They can check in with me for accountability. I give them resources to kind of help them further that along. So it really just depends on where they're at. And then we keep reevaluating those goals along the way and look at the progress they're making, maybe shift things. Maybe they've knocked one goal out of the park and we can move on and tackle something else. But it's such a fun process to see people go from point A to point B to point C all along the way, because sometimes they come in with a weight loss goal and they go out with, oh my gosh, but now I sleep so much better and I'm more hydrated and I have this greater energy. So it just evolves into something very cool and different. So that would be a health coaching client, but then maybe more of like a fitness client, somebody who really is targeted on, you know, they haven't been to the gym in years, but they have that membership that they're still paying for.
Right.
But they just don't love the gym setting and they heard that they can do in-home personal training. So they can come to me or I can go to them and we have, you know, multiple sessions a week, ideally in that setting, but it could be strength and conditioning or it could be more of a yoga style. Stretching, just depending again on what their goals are, but they've got that accountability because they know that I'm going to be there walking them through it and I program their exercises for them and we chart their progress and that's a lot of fun. But all, at the same time, because I've got the nutrition background, we can talk about their nutrition too, because how are they fueling their body to, you know, move it the way they want to move it and achieve these fitness goals. So
right.
That's fun.
Oh, it sounds so incredibly helpful. All of it. With your fitness clients, so you're working out together at their home or some other location, but it's kind of one-on-one, or do you ever work with groups and it's at their spot usually?
So yes, yes to all those things.
Okay.
So one-on-one clients will maybe come to me. I've got a whole setup in my home, a kind of a home gym studio, and clients are always amazed by how hard. I have a client who tells me, she says, Christine, I never worked out so hard with my personal trainer in the gym because, I don't know, he didn't push me the same. We didn't do the same kind of exercises. We chatted a little too much, whatever it was. But she's like, I always leave here in a sweaty lather and I'm sore and we did it. She said, but I'm going to be honest. When I walked in, I was like, well, we don't have all this big, giant, you know, heavy gym equipment. How's it going to? Oh, it works.
Right.
We use the right tools, do the right exercises, and keep it going. Then, yeah, we make it happen. Or I will go to them if they've got a setup, or if it's more yoga style where we don't need a lot of equipment, then it's easy to go to people's facilities. Then, and depending on, you know, the person's physicality, we'll talk about maybe starting a walking program if that appeals to them. That's the thing. It's got to be something that they're going to love, that they're going to, maybe initially they won't love it. Okay. But they're going to build up to where they look forward to it. They don't dread it. So we might have to trial and error. We might try, maybe you try a walking program. Oh, you need a buddy. So grab a neighbor. You know, do you have someone you can bring into that? And then we'll look at timing. You know, how long should they be walking? How briskly should they be walking? Then maybe we ramp it up to, you know, we need some weight bearing exercises. If they want to work with me, great. But maybe they had another facility that they were already a member of. They just weren't using it. Or maybe they say, my spouse says that he or she will go with me if we join a facility or something. Well, now they've got their built-in accountability partner. So that's great too. So group workouts. I do little pop-up kind of community workouts around town sometimes. Who doesn't love like yoga in a beer garden? Those are exciting to me because that attracts people who maybe have been hesitant about going to, if it's yoga, going to a yoga studio or going to a gym or somewhere where they're going to feel self-conscious because they think everybody else in the room is a pro and they're going to feel like they're, you know, not quite up to par yet. So that attracts kind of non-traditional exercisers and gets them in touch with their body and how they can do things a little differently and achieve their goals. So that's a lot of fun too.
That is great. One of the main challenges in someone joining a gym or getting on with a fitness program is intimidation. You know, they're walking into a group that's already formed, that knows the routine, or that, you know, they perceive as being stronger or more fit or more capable or whatever. And breaking into that can be really hard. And it apparently is like the number one reason why people don't do it. So
yes,
I think of that like with your program, it helps probably people take the first step, even if they're going to join the gym a year later, it helps them probably have that confidence that initial routines and getting their fitness level just a little bit higher, and then they're able to to move on.
I can't count the number of times that I have heard from somebody, you know, somebody who's been talking about, you know, getting involved with something. Oh, I'm not ready yet, is what I hear. Stop getting ready to be ready. You will never be ready then. Just do it. That's the number one thing that I hear. I'm not ready yet. If it's yoga, oh, I'm not flexible enough. Why do you come to yoga? It's to get more flexible. Or, oh, I'm not quite in shape enough. Or, oh, I've got to get things in order here or there in different areas of life. We all know you've just got to, all you have to do is take that first step.
Do people graduate from your program, or do you have long-term clients that this is what they do for fitness and they're going to be with you forever?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's definitely a mix. Like the 6-month health coaching program, we absolutely celebrate the end of the 6 months no matter what. And we look back over, I keep those notes all the way through so we can celebrate all the big and small successes along the way, because that's a huge motivator to keep us moving, right? Like, look at all that I accomplished for myself, for my wellness along the way. So, wow, I bet I can do more. So some people want to then branch off and give it a go on their own, knowing that I'm there and that they can, you know, come back. Some people slide a little more gradually into like what we call a maintenance program. So I have some clients that are on like a monthly basis. They want to have that little bit of accountability, knowing, because they know themselves. They know if they back down all the way that they might really slide off that wagon and never get back on. So we do kind of monthly check-ins, and we meet up once a month, and they still have goals and they still have things they're working on. I still have new resources I can give them, all of that. And then fitness clients, that varies a lot too. Some people know themselves and they know they will not get it done without having a trainer on board. So they stay for the long haul. And others want to, maybe they used to work out and so they want to get back into it. Or they do want to start going to maybe a yoga studio. They enjoy the group setting, but they're not comfortable enough yet. So they want to do something privately first. They want to kind of feel it out. They want to, quote, learn the moves or whatever. So we do something a little bit more short term. So it's definitely a mix. It depends on where people are at. And sometimes they come into it with one mindset and then they decide something entirely different altogether and shift along the way.
Right. Okay. I love how it's so customizable. And that's probably one of the main benefits of a one-on-one program.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just such a smart place to start for people, because having somebody one-on-one where they can really hone in on what are their particular barriers and then have real life strategies for combating those and all your expertise for what to do and where and how. I think it's an excellent service that you provide. So I'm so happy for you for business that you started. It's fantastic. So let's talk about accountability for a minute. Yes. This is something that I really struggle with. I'll tell you what I did not struggle with was making a list. I'm kind of a professional list maker. I love my list to be as long as possible, unless it's a to-do list. But a list like this, I'll just sit down. I'm like, I had no problem writing like 8 things that I thought would help people be accountable. But when it comes to my own self, these things do work for me, but it's the long term that I have trouble with. And it's really trying to be productive on all sorts of other things. And so prioritizing my own health, you know, becomes a problem. And what are your thoughts about accountability? How do people stick with their program, meet their goals?
One thing that I think is sometimes a missing piece for people is setting real goals for ourselves, like personal goals, professional goals, family goals, and actually writing it down and then revisiting it, having a schedule of revisiting it. But making sure that you've got different benchmarks along the way. So you want some really short-term goals, and then maybe you want those midterm goals, and then the long-term goals too, the big picture stuff. Because if you're leaning only one way or the other, if you've got these big, lofty, long-term goals, maybe you build in strategies along the way, but it's much easier to fall off the rails with that because you haven't had these shorter-term check-in checkpoints. So creating some short-term goals, goals. That might be what do I want to accomplish by, gosh, it might be by the end of the week sometimes, right? Or it might be by the end of the month, or you might have quarterly goals. So just charting it out. I recommend actually looking ahead, looking into the long term, and then working your way back on those big picture goals. Because you know what that helps do? That helps take out that other piece that gets in the way of accountability, is using the excuse of, well, but I was busy. I was busy doing all these other things. And so I had no time left to achieve this goal. Okay, well, let's look at what was all that busyness comprised of? Let's break it down and look at what's keeping us busy. Because oftentimes the busy work stuff is not what's going to accomplish those goals. So it might mean something like scaling ourselves back on the social media time. Like, you know, we want to keep our kids off electronics a little bit more. Well, we probably need to look at our own selves first, right? Keep that in check. Or maybe we are just kind of spinning our wheels on some busy work on things that aren't getting toward the goals. Do we need to accomplish the daily stuff? Yes. I mean, laundry still has to get done. We still have to cook our meals. All of that's important. But really charting out the goals and writing it down and then revisiting on a regular basis is a huge point of accountability, because then we can see, how are we doing on this? We can see if we need to refigure things. And then from the goals, we got to make some strategies in order to get it done. And then those strategies can include things like, somebody's having trouble getting themselves to the gym. They don't want to go by way of, you know, personal trainer yet. They know they can do it. They know what they need to do when they get there. It's just the getting there. So buddy system, right? Having someone else, having your accountability partner in whatever it is, fitness, nutrition, professional, whatever it is, accountability partner is huge. Knowing that you don't have to do it alone, I think, is a big piece for a lot of people. Then it might be like, put it on your calendar, whatever it is, doesn't matter. I put the weirdest things on my calendar. If people ever saw my calendar, they would think I was crazy. So that helps keep me accountable for myself. And it gives me the permission to make the time to do whatever that was. Because why? Well, it was on my calendar. I had to do it. And then reminders too. Sometimes we get so busy that we will easily let something slide by, but maybe it's the sticky notes. If you're a sticky note person, put those around. If you need it in your face, maybe it's literal reminders on our phones. We've got that with us all the time, a calendar reminder or whatever, some alarm that goes off. Now, if that's going to stress you out, don't do that. So you have to find the things right that work for you. And then I think a huge piece of accountability is celebrate the victories, the little tiny victories. Like, oh my gosh, I went to the gym all of my days that I wanted to go this week. Or I packed my lunch every day this week for work. Or I put something new in the kids' lunchbox this week that I thought, you know, we would give it a go. And celebrate that, like celebrate it with a friend, literally. Celebrate it. Do something nice for yourself.
Yes. And some of those are the ones that do work best for me, particularly the bring a friend. That is probably number one for me, because I will not cancel on a friend. You know, I've got to be seriously ill. So that is what will get me there, is if somebody's counting on me. I recently signed up for the last springtime race, signed up with my friend Katie, and then we started training together. So that got me out and running. And there were so many times I felt too busy, but I was like, nope, I told Katie I was going to do this. You know, we're running springtime, period, and I'm not going to be the one that slows her down. So I'm going to have to get out there and train. Mm-hmm. And that definitely works for me. The other thing that works is the group classes, mm-hmm. having a start time. So if you don't go at that moment, you're not going to go, you're going to miss it. And then the other part of that is, once you've paid for something, you know, yes, you've paid for that class or you've paid for that membership. And so I'm a person who definitely wants to get my money's worth. And so I will be there.
Well, and I would say too, is don't forget about your coworkers, right? If you have a group of coworkers that you are with, guess what? You spend more of your waking hours with them than you do with anybody else. So get an accountability partner there, even if it's not maybe maybe it's not something where you work out together or go on walks together or things like that, although that's great. But maybe you're just checking in with each other on whatever the goal is, because it might not be a fitness related goal. It might be that you're going to bring your lunches to work and then you get to eat lunch together or something fun like that. So now you're building a social piece into it too. Or if you're able to start like a little accountability challenge, like a fun challenge at work, where you can rally together a group and you're kind of keep it fun and lighthearted. Maybe there's some kind of silly prize or reward at the end or whatever. But yeah, we spend so much time with our coworkers that that's a great place to put some accountability in.
Yes, that's another thing that checks a lot of boxes. The team building, the forced taking a break from work and getting up from your desk, and the whether it's fitness or healthy eating. Definitely. And I love those things that check multiple boxes all at the same time. Mm-hmm. That's how we get stuff done in our busy lives.
Right. And if you are an employer or a manager or a business owner or whatever, I would encourage anyone, any of those people to build some type of workplace wellness program. It can be something very simple to, you know, a walking club or a lunch bunch or the sleep trackers. Like, how many hours of sleep did you get last night? And this time the reward actually goes to the one who sleeps the most, not this crazy twisted thing we've done in society where it's like, I can get away with 3 hours of sleep and function. Well, okay, we'll talk about that later in life. But yeah, workplace wellness, or bring somebody in. That's one of my favorite things, is to go in and do workshops or programs in the workplace. Because for me, talk about checking the boxes. I have come to realize that my love of workplace wellness is that, first of all, the people I'm directly serving are not paying me for the service. Their employer is. I got to earn a living somehow. So great. So these people have bought into this, their own wellness, and they're there and they're excited and they're soaking up the knowledge or the activity or whatever it is. So check that box. But then also, this employer or business is investing in the wellness of their employees. And like, there is nothing better than that. To make that a benefit of working in your workplace. Again, sure, everybody needs their pay and their salaries and their health benefits and all that, but it's preventive care. These are smart employers. The statistics are amazing on workplace wellness. There is higher employee morale, greater productivity, fewer sick days, less use of the, you know, health insurance plan. So the rates aren't going to go up there. It's just amazing when we see that happen.
Right. It is so smart. I recently read that book, Spark. It's really incredible, all the points that touches. But one of the points has to do with your productivity right after you exercise.
Yes.
So yeah, people that encourage, you know, working out over lunch or getting up and taking breaks and getting some movement, it really pays back that time and your increased productivity, in addition to all the other things that it does for our mind and body. So I'm really glad that you brought up the workplace wellness, though, because that's another question I have for you. I've seen some social media posts about you working with the city. So I was interested to find out, what types of things do you do within organizations and the workshops that you put on? Tell me about those.
Some social media posts. You're funny. Right. So yes, the city of Tallahassee has an amazing wellness program. The employees have wonderful wellness benefits. They even have wellness leave that they can take. So it allows them to use that time to go have their preventive care screenings and visits and things that they need with their healthcare providers without having to use sick time or having to, you know, just go off the clock. So that's really wonderful. But I am in there doing strength and conditioning workouts 3 days a week in City Hall with employees. And that is a completely free benefit to those employees. There are yoga classes. One of my most challenging gigs is fire yoga, as I've come to love to call it, but doing yoga with our firefighters out at their fire stations has been an incredible experience. These are people who are working hard for our city. Their lifestyle is so unique. I have learned so much about that subculture, and I gotta tell you, they are our heroes. They are the first on the scene at any, you know, accident, medical event, whatever it is. They are living sitting there in their fire station, being awakened from the night, if they even get to sleep at all hours, crazy hours of the night, and they pop up and they are out there on the scene, and who knows what they're going to come upon. And so their physicality is strained. Their sleep is just abysmal. And they even tell me that when they go home, when they're off shift, it doesn't mean that they necessarily get a great night's sleep there either, because they're back and forth, up and down. So they are sacrificing so much for our city and our citizens. So to be able to give even just a little bit back to them is amazing. So we work on their, obviously, flexibility, but balance and strength and mobility and all these things that are going to help them both on and off the job, not to mention stress reduction, just that chance for them to literally breathe and focus on themselves. We've seen great benefits there. And this is something that they are doing while they are on shift. So yes, sometimes we get a call in the middle of the shift and they gotta pop up, get in those boots and pull on the bunker pants and hop in the truck and off they go.
Wow. Please do social media about that one day. It's amazing.
It is amazing. It's wonderful. And I hear great reports from them too, that they're really seeing the benefits from it. And again, because they have to be very physical. So I know your listeners, you're all picturing, you know, the calendar guys out there, the firefighters that work out a lot. And so they're in great physical shape. Well, oftentimes we were focusing maybe on one area of fitness and not other areas. So people with big, strong muscles are not always necessarily the most flexible. And flexibility, range of motion is really important for all of us and all of our daily activities, never mind wielding around the equipment that it takes to be a firefighter. So allowing them to have time, again, giving themselves permission to focus on their flexibility outside of everything else is just, you can't buy that. So it's a lot of fun.
Right. You are making me want to do yoga because, you know, that's the exercise that I got to get my money's worth. I got to get my time's worth and everything. I try to pack every experience mm-hmm. with like the maximum you can put in. And so when it comes to working out, I like used to think that yoga, you know, I needed to work harder than that. Well, recently I did start doing a little bit more yoga, but also uncovered isometrics. I have a little isometrics routine, and it's the type of workout that I could do at 9 o'clock at night, which is far later than I will ever consider working out, because it feels like, it doesn't feel like work. I guess that's my lottery workout. It feels like it's just fun. It feels good for your body. It's super hard, but I don't feel like I'm killing myself, but I can also tell that my body's really challenged. Mm-hmm. So I guess the giving yourself permission kind of theme we got going here, giving myself permission to have a workout like yoga or isometrics be the workout, you know, is mm-hmm. something that I've been trying to wrap my brain around recently and just allow myself to go like, yeah, that was your workout. That was great for your body.
Right.
So go ahead and check the box.
Right. Well, and so on the flip side, if you want to ramp up your yoga, try hot yoga. I say anybody who has ever been interested, intrigued, or like I was, think, oh, heck no, I live in Florida. Why would I want to sweat unnecessarily? So I tried it. And let me tell you, I got hooked. I was just amazed. People do it for all different reasons. You certainly can get into your flexibility a little bit deeper because your body is so heated up. Some people love the good sweat, that good sweaty cleansing feeling. There's just something about it. It kind of takes you the altered mind thing even. And oh, you will know you worked out then. So that is incredible. I can't say enough about how much I love hot yoga.
I got to try that. I've heard a lot about it and I have never tried it. So mm-hmm. I'll have to try that. Which yoga facility?
My favorite is Hot Yoga Tallahassee. They have the Benton location and the Bannerman location. A whole wide variety of classes offered at both locations. And I am in love with everything that is there. And there are new offerings all the time. Brittany, the owner, is amazing. She's constantly getting feedback from the community and listening to what we want and giving giving us more of that and incorporating new things, keeping it very on trend as things evolve, and new aerial yoga, you know, hanging from the ceiling, doing your yoga in these beautiful silks. Like, it's just, how could you not want to be one of the Cirque du Soleil performers? Right. So it's really wonderful.
That's great. All right. I'm going to check that out. So if businesses are listening and thinking about how they could incorporate you or the services you provide into their organization, you take business clients as well, and you'll do either workshops or an actual fitness program on site at their location?
Absolutely. Yes. Open to all those things, whether it's fitness, nutrition, any kind of, you know, holistic health. A workshop that's really popular when somebody just kind of wants to bring maybe like a one-off program in for employees just to kind of try it out, or maybe they have some workplaces do like a wellness week and they, you know, target different things. I had this workshop that's so much fun. It's called Undesk Your Body, and we deskercise together. And it's a whole series of movements basically that anybody can do in your normal work clothes, your shoes. In fact, I go dressed in like, you know, regular work clothes, heels, maybe even just to prove that you can do it no matter what. But it's head to toe, it's stretching, toning, and it's focusing on all the body areas that get tight from sitting at a desk all day long, every day, the hips, that back pain, the shoulders, the neck, all the stuff that's going on. Super interactive. It's a lot of fun. Or a workshop that focuses on nutrition, and maybe people do want to bring their lunch more often to work. So maybe we do something that focuses on that, or like the meal prep to save them time at home, give them more time with their families. So yeah, a one-off workshop is great. Or sometimes we do a series where we pick several things. Kicking those sugar cravings, that seems to be a big topic for a lot of people. Or yeah, if someone has room for a, you know, kind of a fitness workout, they want to either do a one-off of those or bring a series in, something on a regular basis. Absolutely. The sky's the limit. And I work with what you've got, a big staff, a small staff, different teams, you know, anything from a small conference room to a large lecture hall. I'm very adaptable and will make it work with whatever you've got.
That's amazing. And again, a great resource. So let's give a real quick wrap up and also touch on accountability again. Obviously, yes, working with a wellness coach on how to stay accountable, because it seems like in your programs, you do a lot of these things. But we talked about setting goals, tracking progress. So definitely I've tried that before, where, and it has worked well when I've had on my calendar and just marking every day that you work out, because mm-hmm. one, it's celebrating, recognizing the days that you worked out, they have an X on them. Mm-hmm. And then it's also being able to look at the end of the month and see how many days you worked out. So I think that is definitely helpful and super easy one. We talked about working out with a partner. We talked about paying for a service, so you're invested mm-hmm. in getting your money's worth. We talked about rewards, and I liked what you brought up with the office, the company rewards or whatever. And another type of reward is the monetary rewards. Mm-hmm. I have a friend right now, Denise, who's doing one of those programs where you pay a little bit in and then you have the potential to earn more back than you put in. And she is killing every one of her goals, and she looks incredible, and she's making money. So
that's awesome. Check, check,
yes,
check.
Exactly. It's really incredible.
There's a lot of Facebook groups, I think, that operate that way too, to where you can be participating with people all over the place. So it's a lot of fun. Yeah.
Great. And then, social media is the last one I was going to bring up. So so many ways, but I think it's, you know, I think you touched on this before, is just taking the first step, just getting started, you know, mm-hmm. That whole thing about I'm not ready to get started. Well, all of these things are simple, but it just takes the first step of like, I'm going to work out today and I'm going to put it on the calendar, and I'm right. going to make a goal to have, you know, 3 a week or whatever your choice is. And then at the end, seeing how you...
Right. And I think another really important piece is to acknowledge that we are all human. We are going to have backslides. That's actually part of the process. And it sounds, you know, silly, or it sounds like an excuse, but it actually fuels us farther into the future toward our goal because we know what it feels like to backslide. And then we get ourselves back up, we climb back on the wagon, and then we can celebrate that we did that. And we know that that's possible. And so that's another reason for like why my health coaching program is 6 months long. People say, well, can't we bang this out a little quicker? I'm fast, chop, chop. Well, we need to be able to get through enough life events that are going to happen. Celebrations,
Christmas, holidays, yes.
Right, all the things. High moments, low moments, stressful times, changing of the seasons, like all of that. We want to navigate through all of that and be able to manage the ups and downs that are going to come through life and just troubleshoot and figure out how do we keep getting back up onto that higher point as we slip back down. So acknowledging, knowing, planning for those things to happen. I had one health coaching client who she knew herself. One thing she knew was she needed to be on a quote program as far as her eating went. So she needed to have something very structured. It couldn't just be try this, try that. So, okay, we worked within that. We set up a structure that we felt like was going to work for her. But then she also knew that she would be 5 days into something and have like a dramatic crash and burn, you know, and just eat the whole pizza or something, you know, something would happen. So, and it kept happening. And so I said, you know what? We need to build that into the structure, build that into the plan. So on the 5 days in, what are we going to do? There's got to be something that's going to happen on that day, something to distract from, something to prepare for, and just be hyper focused on it that day. And that was helpful. So we just really need to acknowledge that we're human and it's okay. It's okay to make mistakes. It's all trial and error. It's a science experiment. We don't know how it's going to work. So we just kind of keep plodding away and figure out what works and what will be sustainable.
Right. I love that. Just being realistic while you're trying to also make progress towards goals. And that reminds me of another friend, Ashley, has this tradition. She's one of the most fit people that I know and is so committed to her fitness program and her goals. And she's incredible. One of her routines is on Sunday, she rewards herself with some amazing dessert that she could sit here and describe to you and would take 5 minutes because it has, they make it at home, I think, she and her husband, and it has so many different parts to it. And it sounds absolutely amazing, but that's kind of, you know, after your whole week of doing amazing work and fantastic nutrition, she gets to have her reward at the end of the week. And yes. I assume that came from a place of liking this particular dessert and wanting to have it in her life, being realistic about it being there. It's going to be part of life, mm-hmm. but it's going to be in a reasonable fashion and something that she can celebrate the success of the week. So
yes, and I love that you call it a reward because there's a lot of conversation these days about cheat days. Like cheat days are built into certain types of quote diets or ways of eating. Well, when we call it cheating doesn't have a positive connotation, right? It's very negative. And so it feels like we're doing something bad and but we've given ourselves permission to do the bad thing, but still in the back of our minds, we're thinking of it as bad. So no, I love calling it a reward, calling it a celebration, maybe calling it a break from whatever else it is you're doing. That's where kind of the 80-20 rule comes in for a lot of people, where 80% of the time they're on target with whatever it is, nutrition, fitness, whatever. 20% of the time they're just going to do what they do and they're not going to feel guilty about it. And some of those people are the most successful overall in the long haul because they're not constantly caught up in this trying to be perfect. And then, they backslide and it's really hard to come back from that backslide. Kind of like yo-yo dieting, constantly trying a new diet. Studies show, the research shows that any weight loss that happens or fitness goals that happen on when you're on the program, when you come back off or you crash and burn or it just ends and now you're left with, what do I do? Oftentimes the weight gain or the loss of that fitness progress is more dramatic than what it was to begin with. So sustainability and like if what you're doing now if it's some kind of program or way of eating, way of living, whatever. What you're doing right now, you couldn't tell yourself you could keep on continuously doing it 80 years from now, then it's not going to work for you. It's not, you know, it's not reasonable. It's like the cabbage soup diet, right? Like, are you going to eat cabbage soup for the next 80 years? Probably not. Then don't do it.
Right.
Yeah. That's not sustainable or enjoyable at all. And ultimately, we want to enjoy life.
Oh, I love this whole conversation, all these tips and information. It's making me want to be more active and eat healthy.
That's the goal, right? We all strive for.
Yes, yes. Thank you, Christine, so much for being with me. This was really valuable information.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me. And thank you for exposing the Tallahassee community to so many fit and wonderful, fabulous things.
Excellent. Thank you. I look forward to talking to you more.
Absolutely. Anytime.
All right. Thanks again to Christine White for sharing all these tips with us. I hope you heard something that will help you move forward on your fitness goals. Also, don't forget, we get 20 more minutes of Christine during the bonus overtime episode that's going to be all about nutrition. She has so much great advice on that topic, and I can't wait for you to hear it too. So check back for that. Also, by the way, since we kind of discussed accountability throughout this episode, there's a little summary of our accountability suggestions on the show notes page, which you can find at letsgetlocaltallahassee.com. And there you will also find a link to Christine's website, which is coachchristinewhite.com. Well, that's it for today's episode and also the end of our January of Fitness. I hope you enjoyed these four fitness episodes, and more importantly, I hope you found something that interests you, or maybe you've become inspired to search for groups that meet your particular needs and goals. We have endless opportunities for active lifestyles in Tallahassee, and so really, it's just about getting out there and exploring and finding whatever seems right for you. If you know of someone else who's looking for ways to incorporate more activity into their life, please recommend these episodes to them. All right, we'll be back on February 11th with the important mental health discussion with Randy Nicholas from 211 Big Bend. Please remember to subscribe to Let's Get Local Tallahassee on your favorite podcast app or on the website so you'll be the first to know about new episodes. Thank you for listening to Let's Get Local Tallahassee. Talk to you soon, Tallahassee friends.